heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
What I'm going to read to you next is probably one of the most interesting statements or declarative statements I've seen in expressing not only the opportunities, but the plight and the situation we find ourselves across America right now. And this is a big conversation today. Let me read this to you first right up front here. And it is the Declaration of 1776. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. And it goes like this. 1776 unites, maintains a special focus on voices in the Black community who celebrate Black excellence. We reject victimhood culture and showcase the millions of Black Americans who have prospered by embracing the founding ideals of America. Now, that is probably the most interesting statement I've seen, which talks about, again, I love this because it says that we celebrate Black excellence. We reject victimhood culture, and we showcase the means of Black Americans who have prospered by embracing, and here it is, people, the founding ideals of America. Now, something I say to you all the time out there is this. One of the most beautiful things about our country, about America, is the fact of our diversity. Now, myself, and I tell you all the time out there, growing up as a young boy, I always seen that as a beautiful thing of our culture, as our country. I seen that as a gift, that what America was all about, what it represented. Now, as I grew up from a young lad, and as I came a young man, and then as an adult in the world, I discovered how so many political people use this as a tool to divide the people. And it became very apparent to me how not only sick it is, but it goes against our ideals. Now, I've always felt that way. It's always been in my DNA, absolutely. And then when I came across the gentleman you're going to meet next and the organization he founded, and when I read this statement, it really spoke to me because I don't hear anybody out there, my fellow Americans, talking about or embracing, as they suggest here, our founding ideals of America. And isn't that what we're really all about? I mean, if it really matters, and it does, isn't that what this whole thing is about? What else do we have? That common denominator, those founding ideals that bring us together as a people, that's what our country is founded on. It's what makes us great here, is our diversity and our immigration and our care and attitudes. So I want to start there right now and bring on here Bob Woodson. We'll give you more of Bob's background in a bit here. But Bob, that statement, first of all, as a civil rights leader yourself, and I think one of the premier voices on these topics in our nation, that statement spoke to me big time because of those founding ideals, but also that you celebrate Black excellence, and it's so important to do that. I'm going to give you the floor right now to tell our fellow Americans the passion behind that declaration, please.
Well, as a child that was born during segregation, and during the Depression, I, from a low-income family, had two-parent households, but my dad died when I was 9, leaving my mother with a fifth-grade education and 5 children to raise from age 9 to 18. And yet it is because we live in this nation that a family starting out in segregation in the South, this is the only nation where that this is a nation of second chances. We understood that Black America is one of the most loyal supporters of this nation, even though that nation held them as slaves. And there are those on the left who would try to convince you that America should be defined by its birth defect of slavery. America is defined by its promise, not just its past, its the deficits of its past. And so as a civil rights movement, what has motivated all of us is to compel America to live up to its promise. That's why Blacks have fought in every war that this nation has ever had And that is because we believe that America was should be held to its finest ideals. It is, again, a country of second chances. And so this was a revolution, a social revolution fighting for inclusion. And so I was pleased to have marched with Dr. King when we took down the barriers of racial discrimination and Jim Crow. And we did this while we sang the Star Spangled Banner and pledged allegiance to the flag. But that rich, the legacy has now been hijacked by those on the left. And so the civil rights movement has morphed into a race grievance industry. And so forces on the left are trying to exploit America's birth defect of slavery by trying to posture that America should be defined by its worst. And so what we're doing is that since they're using the legacy of slavery and discrimination as the messengers, as the bludgeon against this country to try to degrade and promote despair, we believe that the push against it and defense of this nation should be led by Black Americans also. That's why we at the Woodson Center have assembled 23 scholars, and we've gotten other activists to come together as a coalition to challenge those who would disparage this nation, not by establishing an alternative debate club, but by producing proof through our essays and through our school curriculum, proof that America is one of the finest places in the country. And so we give evidence of resilience. Blacks should be defined not by slavery and discrimination, but also the legacy of resilience and self-determination. And so we're really proud that we were able to play a key role in pushing back against the assault on this nation, because the reality is that people of color are risking their lives all over this world to get here to achieve what we have accomplished in this nation. So we're just happy to be in the struggle.
Happy to be in the struggle. You're listening there to the voice of Robert L. Woodson, Bob Woodson. And he is the founder and president of the Woodson Center. He founded the center in 1981 to help residents of low-income neighborhoods address the problems of their communities. He's a civil rights activist. He has headed the National Urban League Department of Criminal Justice and has been a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Foundation for Public Policy Research. He has founded this amazing organization, 1776 Unites. I shared, Bob, a powerful video just earlier today out on all the social media outlets that you have on. In fact, it was accompanied to a newsletter you send out, which I get from you. And the video I watched about 5 minutes in its entirety. It is a very strong video. And it's entitled, Bob, Black Americans Speak Up Against Looting and Violence. These Black Voices Matter Too. Hashtag 1776 Unites. That video is pretty powerful. Tell us about that video, please.
Well, in this current situation where Black Lives Matter is dominating the rhetoric, and they are falsely portraying themselves as legitimate champions of a Black America's interest, and falsely claiming that they are promoting racial justice. Well, what they have done after George Floyd's death, that started as a peaceful protest against police misconduct, it soon migrated from social justice to the film shows that they really are hostile to the interests of Black. The very fact that Black businesses were burned down in Minneapolis, that a police precinct was destroyed, well-dressed radical whites were driving up into the community in a car and handing out bricks to Black youth. And but yet there were elements of neighborhood leaders on the ground who stood against some of these rioters, and but their voices are not being heard, nor are they being reported by the mainstream media, because they're trying to portray this narrative that these riots are synonymous with protests and therefore have the moral authority of the civil rights movement. But the political left has really hijacked the movement and migrated seeking justice for Blacks to burning Bibles in Portland, desecrating the cross. They're saying that the Christian cross is a symbol of white supremacy, and even statues, a burning of flags, and even the statues of celebrated anti-slave advocates like Frederick Douglass was also destroyed, and as was Abraham Lincoln. So their strategy is very clear. It has nothing to do with seeking justice for Blacks. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization that is exploiting racial tension in America and injuring Blacks in the process of representing their interests. For instance, they've declared war on the police and call for defunding of the police. And because of all these riots, police resources are having to deploy downtown, and therefore fewer resources are available in the community, Black communities in particular, that are most vulnerable. There is a clear correlation between the marginalization of police and the increase on Black deaths. So you're seeing a surge in Black on Black murders in these cities where the police are under attack. And so the press will not report that 80% of Black Americans do not support the defunding of the police, but you would never see that reported. And so what we wanted to do at 1776 is take our cameras out around the country and interview and record the passionate way that Blacks are expressing their disdain and their opposition to Black Lives Matter. And so that's what that film was, just a small example of the Black voices of dissent against the destructive nature of this of these acts.
That small video is powerful. So that's a snippet of some of the footage you captured around the country then, Bob, is what you're saying there, I guess, yeah?
Yeah.
That video. Yeah, it's very powerful. Again, it's about 5 minutes. It's absolutely something you want to watch. That is on the 1776 Unites website as well. We'll talk more about all of that. A lot of people, and you reference Black Lives Matter right now, and a lot of these radical groups, as you say, and they're Marxist radical groups, and the Antifa fascists is the same sort of element here. The narrative that's been pushed out there for some time now, especially through this hotly contested election, is that it's a fight of Black and white. And as you dig down deeper into many of the stories and many of the things you talk about there, I want to ask you, is this really more about a fight? If you really look at everything on the table right now, is it a fight really of Black and white, or is it a fight of the powerful elite feeling like their power is escaping them? Is it a fight of Black and white, or is it a fight of the powerful greed?
This is not, it's good against evil. It is a contest between those who believe in liberty, those who believe in the founding principles of self-determination, free enterprise, a government by the people and for the people. That's what's on one side. And then on the other side, the race grievance industry, the race identity identity, racial identity advocates who are pushing what is called official race theory, critical race theory, is basically a Marxist theory forced through the prism of race. It holds that racism pervades every aspect of American society and that all disparities between races is due to systemic racism on the part of the whites, the oppressors, against blacks and people of color. Quote, the oppressed and only way to undo these disparities is to force redistribution of power and wealth. This is about people who think America is a good and noble place to live versus those who think America is bad and therefore should be changed and destroyed. It is a classic good versus evil. Understandings of America cannot coexist. They right. cannot peaceably coexist. People yeah. need to understand that.
Yeah. Bob, the good and evil fight, my listeners know a great deal about because you may not know, it is the premise of this entire program we're on right now. It's the premise of all the work I do in my life, by the way, Bob. It's what my point is here. There's no other purpose for me to be in this business except that I've been asked to be here from the good Lord, and it is for the fight of good versus evil. It's the premise of the show we're on now, The Voice of a Nation, and it really is a truth moment for this country. It's very much our language here at America Out Loud as well. It really is the fight of good versus evil, and I'm so pleased you put that right out there, totally unsolicited from me, but in the light of day, so people can understand. And, you know, I talk about that in my write-ins, that what this really is a fight of. So listen, this is a big moment, and yet they are trying to use this race to continually divide our nation because, as you say, Bob, it's not a fight of black and white. It's a fight of the powerful elite, but more than that, it's a powerful of the good versus evil that is tearing our country apart. We have got to get the large percentage of Americans to understand this fight and to stand on the side of good to be able to hit back at this thing. Now, the work you're doing at 1776 Unites and at the Woodson Center is pretty remarkable from what I see. And I am a full supporter of your work and absolutely endorse everything you're doing there, because every time I've looked at the work you're doing, it is impeccable at every turn. And you speak so well about these issues. You're a voice of clarity that people need to hear in our nation, as opposed to many of the people that the mainstream media march around professing that they're some sort of civil rights experts, and they're not. I would suggest to you here today that Bob Woodson is one of those genuine people who can stand up for this. So I love having him on, love talking to him always. We're going to take a quick pause here, and we've got a lot to talk about with Bob Woodson today on this topic. Excited to have him here on The Voice of a Nation. We'll pause a moment, my fellow Americans, and we'll return in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Well, this is not a fight of liberal versus conservative. It's not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. This is not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. It's a fight for our very existence. Bob, I believe that with everything in my being. I believe those words. Talk about that piece there, that identification piece. What do you think of that, please?
No, it really is what we are clear about. America is under attack, and it's using race as a weapon. They have weaponized race and using it against the country. And that's why it's important for us to, in our pushback from it, to be able to provide not just a counter argument. So we're not setting up a debate society, but we brought activists together, because the best way to persuade a person to accept and understand a principle isn't to just give them an intellectual understanding of that principle, but if you can point to someone whose personal testimony is a witness to how that principle can inspire redemption and transformation and dramatic improvement in their life, then it's more credible. People can be more recruited to it. I give the example that when the servants of Jesus, of John the Baptist, came to Jesus and said, "Are you the one, or do we seek another?" Jesus didn't pull out a resume. What Jesus did was heal in their presence and told them to go tell your master what you saw. Well, if we're going to defend and reclaim America, it is important for us to help people to understand the importance of these values of ours by pointing to examples of these principles in action as embodied in the people we have brought together. Many of them were drug addicts. Many of them were prostitutes. Many of them were predators, but through God's grace, they were redeemed and transformed and restored. And as a consequence, those were the pillars that were rebuilding of a whole community. So it is important for us to be aware of the importance of not only the message, but the quality of the messenger, and to be able to present to people the power of that principle.
Yeah, well, it's great advice, not just the message, but the messenger. Where's that coming from exactly? And what I think you're really speaking about is a lot of people come to the conversation with an agenda, Bob. They seem to, which really amazes me at times. Of course, it should not. But the amount of people who have an agenda when it comes to something as important as this topic that is used to divide America. We're at a turning point, I would suggest to you, Bob, in our country right now. Now, they have, in a political environment such as we're in right now, the left has used their ugly conversation of racism, which they pull out quite frequently as one of many things, like Me Too and many other things they use to divide the people. And I would say, Bob, that they have really done their darndest to paint a picture and to pin on President Trump that he is a white supremacist, that he is a racist. Because, you know, the old saying is, if you keep saying it loud enough and long enough, it becomes the law of the land. It becomes truth. Now, the left, no, they have a degree in that. They're brilliant at that, actually. And I believe they've done some damage to America, I would suggest to you. Now, talk about that point specifically about what they've done here. And I'm talking about within this election with the president and this conversation of race that they have tried to consistently paint him. Yet when you go back in history, you look at Trump and you look at the people he associated with and how he lived his life, it doesn't seem to be anywhere nearly close to the narrative they're pushing out there. Speak to that point, please.
Well, they try to label anyone a racist who disagrees. Anyone who defends American values is in danger of being called a racist. That's the way they defend it. That's the way they shut down a free speech, by labeling any dissent as dissension. Mm-hmm. And now it's even getting into corporate America. I mentioned earlier that Shelby Steele has a new movie coming out, who entitled Who Killed Michael Brown, right, about the whole riot 6 years ago in Ferguson as a result of them vilifying this white police officer for killing Michael Brown. And so what has happened is that it's supposed to premiere on Amazon on Friday, but Amazon just informed Shelby Steele that they are not going to permit it to be aired because they think that the content is disruptive, or they don't approve of the content. So this is really getting serious in America, where we can't even have a fair presentation of an idea.
Why are they in the business of having to approve the content? Why, are they the publisher? I mean, why are they trying to approve? Why do they, they're just a-
Well, it's supposed to air on their platform, on right. Amazon.
Right.
And Amazon is not permitting them to air their content on their platform. And we are going to really, at the same time, Amazon just wrote a $10 million check to Black Lives Matter.
Bob, let me ask you about that, please, which I was aware of what you just said. I knew that. But let's get to the point of what we really need to talk about. Why does Amazon do that? Now, they have to know what you and I know about BLM, that they're not what they are. They are a Marxist group. They are radical. They have to know that. I mean, these people, I mean, they can't, they're not that sheltered that they don't know that, Bob. So why do they do what they do?
I don't know, but I know I was reading an article by talking about what Lenin was talking about during the Bolshevik Revolution. And they talked about, first, we must spread dissent among the peasants, farmers, so they can take over control of food production. Therefore, they came in and divided the peasants up into three classes, lower, middle, and high. And then the same thing they're doing on race in America today. But the other thing Lenin said, he said that industrialists, the capitalists, will give us the money. And we will take that money, and it will buy the rope that we're going to use to hang them. Mm-hmm. This is what Lenin said. And American corporations are following that same pattern. It is absolutely amazing that I'm at a miss to know why all of these corporations, Nike, would fund a group that end up looting its store in Chicago.
Do we know why?
I have no idea why a corporation would write millions of dollars to a group that walks in and steals and destroys their property. I wish I knew.
Yeah. So when we're looking at outfits like Amazon that you speak about right now, and by the way, one of our hosts, one of our shows, Bob, on our network, Dr. Ron Martinelli. And so he's a national spokesperson and a forensic criminologist, and his voice is out there quite a bit. He has a book, one of the biggest books out there about this, called Black Lives Matter, the Truth About the War on Cops. It's in our bookstore, the America Out Loud bookstore. But what's happened is the Amazon people you just spoke about pulled that book after really a couple of years of high success out there. And it's a great book. It's a best-selling book on the platform. They pulled it off just a few months ago, a couple, three, 4 months ago, something like this, just as the election season was heating up. They pulled it off their network. I've heard other stories of this as well. So now you have Amazon, you have Facebook pulling all kinds of ads out. They're deciding what to run or not to run. You have Twitter doing the same thing. You have YouTube doing the same thing. You have Google doing the. So this is a classic case where there is no more Section 230. There shouldn't be any rights or privileges given to these tech companies. They're violating that, Bob. And they are up. They seem to be putting that. Well, they're definitely putting their hand on the scale. I mean, this is wrong. And for them to do this to, as you say, Shelby Steele here. And What Killed Michael Brown, this documentary movie, which you're in this movie, I understand. Is that correct?
I am, yes. I spent a day taping with Shelby in St. Louis, in Ferguson.
Well, I want to help her promote this. I want to tell you right now, I want to get her on the program here. I want to help her promote this. I want to blast this out. I want to put the documentary film in our store. Is it for sale? Will they be selling the documentary film, or is it just a matter of what? Watching it?
I think it's a matter. They just want people to watch it. I don't think it's for sale.
Okay. All right. Well, I will help her promote this in any way that we can, for sure. But so when we look at the censorship now and these people who are professing and they're putting their hand on the scale and they really are acting like publishers and they're deciding what content is, you know, they want to run, they're making decisions within these conversations and these political conversations. Bob, that's not right, is it?
No, it isn't.
So what do we do about it?
Well, I mean, that's what we're trying. Well, one of the things that we're trying to do at the Woodson Center is that we really believe that one of the ways that you undermine the moral authority of the left is you mobilize the people who, in whose name they say they are engaged in these activities. And that is one of those groups is low-income Blacks. We are organizing about hundreds of Black mothers who have lost children to street violence around the country. Everyone talks about over them, but no one talks to them. They are opposed to the agenda of Black Lives Matter in terms of funding the police. And so we need to give them a voice in this. And there are other groups around the country And so we must enlist them in the struggle. So that's why that film you saw, that little clip, 5 minute clip, we need to mobilize those voices so that they can speak for themselves and say to these corporations, the money should go into the communities where problems are being solved.
Bob, I want to talk to you about the 1619 Project, okay?
Okay.
With the New York Times. And on the website, 1776unites.com, by the way, is where you find out much more about all of this. It says here, Bob, for example, when they want you to believe that the Revolutionary War was fought because the British intended to abolish slavery rather than fighting to gain freedom from a monarchy that suppressed the colonists' rights, they simply said this and many accepted it as fact. We are expected to ignore the fact that slavery was not abolished in the United Kingdom until 1833, nearly six decades after the Declaration of Independence. This is what is dangerous about the 1619 Project. In an effort to prove the narrative that the Black existence in America is inextricably tied to slavery, the project's essayists and its proponents twist truths, omit facts, and change definitions. Okay, Bob, that's an interesting way to put it out there. Let's talk about, let's educate people. This 1619 Project that the New York Times has so famously done here, What were they trying to accomplish? Why is it wrong? And how twisted, I just gave one example here, many of the other examples in this, and what kind of damage it's doing out there?
Well, it's trying to redefine America as incurably racist. And its position is that racism is in our DNA, which means you can't change it. And therefore, all whites are forever guilty in need of punishment. And all Blacks are the victims in need of compensation. And so their only solution is reparations and redistribution of wealth. But there are often no other remedies. Fortunately, because of the work of the Woodson Center in 1776 and others around the country, Nicole Hannah-Jones has just walked that proposition back and is now saying she was speaking metaphorically. Because I think of the pressure that is being mounting, the fact that there are 26 scholars who have written to the Pulitzer Prize organization demanding that they rescind the Pulitzer Prize to Nicole Hannah-Jones because of unethical statements and also falsehoods in her thesis. So you're seeing some real effect on that whole issue because people are moving. We at the Woodson Center in 1776 just issued our first installment on a pro-American curriculum for high schoolers. And in the first 7 days that it was released, it recorded 4,000 downloads. When the 1619 projects only recorded 4,500 over the course of a year. So I really think momentum is building against this onslaught.
Okay, I want to talk more about that and the solutions about the problems we talked about today and how we flip this thing back, as you say, is the momentum coming that way? And an interesting quote I want to share with listeners that you put out there, Bob. We'll take a quick pause. We'll be back with Bob Woodson in just a moment. My fellow Americans, this is Malcolm Out Loud. You know, a few years back, I was in corporate boardrooms offering counsel to business executives worldwide. It was important and demanding work, but out of the corner of my eye, maybe like you, I was watching some dangerous trends in our nation. Marxist teachers and professors brainwashing our children. A media that was not just biased, but complicit and overly partisan. An offshoot of the Democrat Party, even. And the progressive culture that was shutting down, even violently, any voices that challenge these radical ideas and tactics. Well, AmericaOutLoud.com was born at that very moment. Well, it was a challenge I could no longer ignore, and I joined forces with some of the nation's most influential voices to bring you the real news and discussions that Americans need to hear at this crucial crossroads in American history. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
And we join you back here on The Voice of a Nation. We're speaking with Bob Woodson. Well, you have a real interesting quote I want to pick up on now, picking up on where we left off a moment ago here. And let me tell listeners, you're credited with saying this, and it's this. The left presumes to speak for marginalized people, but if the people in whose name they claim to advocate stand up and say, "You don't speak for me," that undermines their perceived moral authority. So that really is the power struggle we're having right now, is to educate not only Black America, but white America on what we're talking about. Is that correct, Bob?
Really is. In other words, a witness is more powerful than an advocate. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so when you get witnesses for these truths of American principles and you let them speak, it's much more powerful for some scholar coming from some think tank saying the same thing.
Let's talk about solutions, things we can do, things you're doing there, and so on.
Well, I think what we're doing is offer people an opportunity to take our curriculum and we're getting hundreds of requests for our curriculum, and it's arming parents to go to school boards and challenge and demand that this anti-American curriculum be scrapped and instead teach accurate American history that celebrates American exceptionalism and resilience. We also are going, we have to reach out to groups like these Black mothers by the thousands who have lost children to street violence. They know that institutional racism did not cause the death of their children, that these were decisions made by people who are their neighbors, and that those that change must come from within. We must support, for example, a school in Pineywood, Mississippi. This is a boarding school that cares for at-risk kids. 98% of them, even though they're from troubled backgrounds, go on to college and become responsible citizens. And they, their principals operate on Judeo-Christian values. They have mandatory chapel uniforms, mandatory work. And when you have instances of institutions like this, all of us should write checks to them. We had a fundraiser last week and tried to raise $1 million. When you look for in those community examples in minority communities of organizations that exemplify the values of the founders, reach out to them and offer to help them and partner with them.
Well, in on1776unites.com, there's a lot there where you can find out more about the organization that Bob is speaking about, and there is a place to donate there as well. The kind of work you're doing, Bob, I want to encourage folks to take you up on your offer and to engage in the way that you're speaking about, because it looks to me like you are really moving the ball forward. Tell us about the organization a moment, the 1776 Unites and the Woodson Center.
Well, Woodson Center is the organization that I founded 40 years ago. And 1776 is a major program, a new program of the center. So the websites are intertwined.
I see.
So any support for one goes to the other. But we really are making it a force to, and we want to be a landing place for people who have written curriculum. We want to be the landing place for people who want to defend America, and who our goal is to promote America so that it is transracial, and also we want to depoliticize race, and we want to desegregate poverty and go back to being judged by the content of our character, not the color of our skin.
Thank you for all the work you do and really putting your voice out there in the way you've done. You have made a big difference, and you continue to make a difference, Bob.
Well, I appreciate it.
We're speaking there to Bob Woodson here again, and 1776 Unites. .com is where you find out more from Bob there. The statement, the declaration that 1776 puts out there and that Bob talks about, which I prefaced up front in the show, what I felt about that, that is something I want to visit that again with you because of the words in here. I mean, it really spoke to me in such a way when he says maintains a special focus on voices in the Black community who celebrate Black excellence. You know, think about, let's break this down a moment, okay? When's the last time you turned on any sort of news or any sort of information, anything out there where they were talking about Black excellence? When's the last time you've seen that? You haven't. You never see it. Yet there is incredible excellence happening in Black America here. But you don't hear that because the left and the media elites, they don't want you as a people to believe that Black America is succeeding, that there are success stories and success metrics in here within the Black American. And of course there is. And that's why I love that statement when Bob puts it out there and says, hey, wait a minute, we're going to put a special focus on voices in the Black community who celebrate Black excellence. That to me, friends, is highly unique. We're not seeing enough of that. I would go one step further and say to you that we're not seeing that in any walks of life. And it's up to you and I, it's up to us as a people to reject not only the victimhood, but reject the negative news and the onslaught of horrible stories and just crisis news that they sell to us every hour of the day. They are destroying our great nation. They are destroying our families. They are destroying our business communities. They really are destroying America, people. I mean, when are we going to wake up to realize what the inevitability of what we're speaking about here? Do we wake up when it's too late? I mean, the damage that is being done across our country should be obvious to everybody. I mean, they will take a story, whatever it is, wherever it falls, the Minneapolis story, and they will beat it to death so they can, again, grab on to what Bob was talking about there and drive a narrative of division. They don't want to talk about, celebrate the excellence in any community, let alone the Black American community. And then in that declaration statement, Bob says here, to reject victimhood culture and showcase the millions of Black Americans who have prospered, right? So reject victimhood. See, that again goes against the entire narrative of the media elite. It goes against the narrative of the left. And what's really warped about this whole thing is these people who get out there and suggest to you that they care, or they're out there and they're great actors. I mean, the one thing about the left you can agree with me on possibly is they are, you know, they should all win awards of some point when it comes to acting, a lot of these senators and congressmen and political operatives from the left, because they throw this out there like they somehow, they're convincing communities that they have their best interest at heart, or that they passionately care about Black America, or that they're going to pass the proper legislation to improve your lives. They don't do that. We see right now what the Speaker of the House is not doing that when it comes to a simple thing as a COVID relief package. It's highly politicized. Whatever's good for her political points is all she's interested in. It's got nothing to do with what's good for Black America or White America or Hispanic America. You know, and that's what's wrong with this. They don't embrace any of this. And you can see by their policies, not just their cheap words. You know, you can put cheap words out there, which, you know, Pelosi and her pirates do continually, but that's not where the rubber meets the road. That's not going to improve anybody's life. They just do that for political points. And so they can, you know, create fear, instill fear into the populace. And then what they do by that measure, then they want you to think that you need them and you need their crooked policies. And you see a lot of these players, and these come in all colors, people. I mean, Pelosi, who's white, or Maxine Waters, who's Black. They're both corrupt. It has nothing to do with Black and white, which is what Bob and I just talked about. This is not really a conversation of Black and white. It is a conversation of good and evil. Now, this is something I talk to you about every day. I can talk about this at a moment's notice because it's my passion. I loved it when Bob said that. He didn't know that that's my premise here, or that's what I'm going after. He didn't know that. And you knew he didn't know that when he brought it up as in the way that he did. But that's a beautiful, because he represents the good, just as Malcolm does. We are of the good camp. So we don't have to pretend. We don't, you know, we can be real. We can be who we are. We can be authentic. We can put it out there because we don't have to make stuff up. You know, in this whole fight of good and evil is what this all boils down to. And so Bob put that out there so well when he talked about this, the victimhood culture that they're trying to propagate out there to the populace and suggest that, you know, they don't want, because that's how they empower themselves. And then if they instill the fact that the populace, you know, can't do it without them, that you need them. And then you look at these districts, you look at the districts that, again, let me just stay with those two examples I just put out there. Not trying to be a wise guy here or pull anything particular down, but to deal with facts. Now, I would suggest to you, you go take a look at Nancy Pelosi's district. Go look at the quality of life that those people have in that district. You wonder what she has over them. You have to begin to, I know I wonder, what does she, I mean, they do a hell of a job of marketing out there, I'll tell you. You have to think, what does she have on them? What is the sell? Where's the rub? But just take a look at her district and look at the quality of life those people have and see if she is, you know, living up to what she has sold them. Go look next in Maxine Waters' district. Again, black or white, what difference does it make, people? It's not a black and white conversation. But look at that district. And it's been pointed out by her running mate, she doesn't live in her district, as a lot of these politicians don't. She lives in an absolutely gorgeous multi-million-dollar mansion, not in the district. She can't vote in that district. The person that she runs, the water doesn't come from that district. She's not in the district. And the candidates run against her goes into the other district to showcase that in such a way. And so, you know, you see these people, they get out there now, they talk in such a horrible way, and they talk about all the evils of it, and they talk about victimhood because they are victimhood. It is all they can offer. Now, why is that? Well, because not the likes of a Nancy Pelosi and a Maxine Waters, I mean, they represent evil. That may not sound nice to some of you, but that's a fact. That's my opinion from what I see. And that would be Bob Woodson's opinion too. I am certain based on what he has shared with us today. But that is that fight of good and evil again, you see. And they represent evil. So they don't have a conscience to worry. They don't have to, you know, put their head on the pillow at night, and they're not impacted by that. When you represent evil, that is your agenda, and there's no misgivings about that. You are who you are. They don't have trouble going to sleep at night. Now, you would wonder why they don't, but because they represent evil. And that comes back to the denominator that Bob Woodson so appropriately put out there when he pointed out to Malcolm, of all people, that, hey, by the way, Malcolm, this is about the fight of good and evil. I about fell on the floor when he said that. And I know he speaks my language and I speak his language very clearly. I love this man. I love the work that he is doing of the people around him. He is what's right with America. And it's a beautiful thing. And so, you see, we're getting somewhere now in this conversation. Do you see where we're at now? We're getting somewhere here, people. And you see, you listen to a Bob Woodson and the work he's doing. So, you know, this whole fight of good and evil has to come to a head here. And now we're seeing that right in the election as to why that's happening and why they're using this as a dividing principle. So the best thing I can suggest to you is we've got to really get the message we just talked about out to the populace. If you care, take the program we just did with Bob and put it out there. And even if the piece we just did on good and evil or highlights of the piece, if you want that distilled down into a short audio segment of 1 or 2 or 3 minutes, we can do that. I'm happy to do that for you. You can email me at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com. And we can do that for you. If you have an idea or a thought on how to get that message out there to the people, I'm all ears, ready and willing to help, just as Bob Woodson is. Now, but everybody's got to do their part. I need you to do your part as well and support this amazing organization. And go to 1776unites.com. Go there and check out the work that they're doing. It is incredibly impressive, is what I would say to you. Incredibly impressive. And you'll see what I mean when you go there and you check out. This is all part of the Woodson Center, which Bob has talked about here. And that, by the way, is woodsoncenter.org, WOODSON, center.org. And Bob's been doing this for decades. He is one of our premier civil rights leaders in our nation. Yet he's not the go-to person on a lot of these networks, is he now? Although you see him on some of the networks. You'll see him on Fox News occasionally and some of the other big networks, sure. But you know, when the left needs a person, they don't go to a Bob Woodson. They go to an Al Sharpton or a Jesse Jackson or some other race baiter, because that fits their negative narrative. It makes sense, doesn't it? And that's what they do. So that's the fight we have in front of us here, and the fight of race and good and evil and our ideals as an American culture and what it's going to take. Right now, this is pivotal to this election season. And, you know, as more Black America realizes now and comes off the Democrat plantation, as Jewish America needs to, and Hispanic American women and all of that, I then think we can raise all boats. We can lift up people and win this election by landslide moments. And also with Black America, which, as you know, the last election was 8% roughly that we believe went for Donald Trump, but went for the more conservative pro-American vote or voice. It is very curious now what this election will bring, but we would love to triple that or quadruple that if possible and reach more Black America. Help us do that, please. Help us get the word out there to all of America, specifically Black America. And let's help Bob Woodson with 1776 Unites drive his message out there. All the social media, push their message out there. Let me know what we can do here to help you, okay? And thank you again, my fellow Americans, for being with me here on this mission today. It's an important one. It's time to get involved and get loud.